In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Never judge a book by its cover. Treat all people with fairness, equality, and justice, no matter their social or economic standing. Do not act as the broken, unbelieving world does. That's how James starts out in the epistle reading today. And truth be told, we transgress these codes of Christian conduct all the time. And as a result, much sorrow, hurt, and sadness happen. We are constantly prone to make snap judgments about people around us, based on their outward appearances and what we perceive them to be saying, if we are listening at all. Time is such a precious commodity, and we simply don't want to invest our energies to dig really deep, understand our neighbor's needs, and get straight to the heart of the problems or joys that beset them. We think we faithful Christians already have too many challenges of our own to deal with. And we rely on our faith. Yes, that's it. Or so we think. We think our faith ultimately will carry us through, even if we look the other way along life's journey amidst our neighbors. But James appropriately reaches in and breaks up this cozy self-confidence, bluntly asking a really tough self-examination question about such a faith absent of the confirming evidence of good works. What good is it at all? What good is it at all? Such a faith as this, a faith without good works, operating mainly within the realm of your interior, such a faith is not good for your neighbor. Many of our neighbors are overlooked because they don't show those characteristics that attract our attentive favor, or maybe they don't think like we think, they don't act like we act. Perhaps some of us is that, gold ring and fine clothing we're looking for, as some of those in the time of James were. Playing favorites based on outward appearance is the way of the world. The foreigner and the disabled are often the last people we see living in our midst because we assume they cannot do anything for us. We frequently seek a favor or advantage or something in return, or when we help, that they use our help wisely or do something for themselves. But God never practices such selfish favoritism. And He expects the same of those who fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. So we need to repent. What markers in your life point to faith in or and worship of, let's say, celebrity, fame, and fortune? What fantasies do you entertain that life would be so much better if you only could have this or have that or like be like them or gain from a relationship with those who have prestige, possessions, influence, power, or money, and so on? In whom or what do you place your confidence, other than the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to repent. Is this your faith? Absent as it is of God-pleasing works? James asks of Christians everywhere and at all times, not just those of congregations dispersed among the Gentiles of the first century. He asks in verse 15 and 16, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Without the sure evidence, that is, the good works that emerge and come with a genuine faith that grasps the gospel of Christ alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation, without the sure evidence, then what good is that kind of faith? Faith with no evidence is a false, dead faith. And don't let anyone offer you the comforting lie that such a dead faith counts for anything. In fact, in the end, such a dead good works absent faith will be of no benefit to you. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, James says. Such a dead faith is simply not compatible with the identity and new life of the resurrected Christ that is bestowed on us at the baptismal font, where by divine grace we became an adopted child of God, a brother and sister of James and the brother and sister of the Lord Jesus himself. A dead, inactive faith renounces the unity of Christ's living body, now sent into the world to reflect the Savior's love. Such a false, dead faith cannot stand up to the judgment of God, because once the law is broken at one point, it's broken on all. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. Verse 10 says. What counts is genuine, living, active faith. Faith continuing at work in the present time among the faithful through love. James pushes the refrain, what good is it? What good is it if you were to keep the whole law, as if that were possible, and yet commit just one sin? What good is it when a lip service-only faith is accompanied by nothing in the way of active love of or works of mercy toward one's neighbor in need? What good is it? We love being treated to eye-popping, heart-stopping performances in sports arenas or concert halls. But spectacular efforts can be ruined by just one moment of falling short. Over the course of a game, a pitcher can record 20 strikeouts, or a quarterback can throw for 450 yards, but nobody will remember such talent if he was on the losing side. Because of the home run given up or the interception thrown at the critical moment. An opera can move us to goosebumps or even tears, but if the soprano cracks on her high note in the climatic solo, That's probably all we're talking about at the exits. When we realize we have blown it completely, with not just one, but an entire catalog of sins, we turn to the Savior, who has unconditionally loved us through his cross to his desired end, forgiveness and eternal life. So the faith of Christ, his faithfulness to his goal, his faithful fulfillment of the law on our behalf, and our genuine faith in him, faith in the gospel, faith given by him, his faith and our faith triumph over sin and death and bring forth the fruit God desires in works pleasing to him. Christ is the model and the pattern of God's grace and love and mercy for us, especially to those whom the world consider to be outsiders and worthless. Jesus is the ultimate outsider. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, as John 1 says. He was made flesh to suffer rejection and humiliation, even to the point of death on a cross for us. He is the one who fulfilled the royal law perfectly for us. He loved his neighbor as himself for us. So rejoice, dear brothers and sisters. Your living and saving faith in Christ will certainly overflow with his good works. Your living and saving faith in Christ will certainly overflow with his good works. And these works will be seen in you, to the glory and praise of Christ's holy name forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.